Hello. I'm Ron Talley. I'm the one and only. The good, the bad, the ugly. Know when to hold them, know when to fold them, know when to walk away, know when to run. Senior pastor of Isles Baptist Church. And I'm very honored to be here today because I see my God in the Bible wherever I chance to look. I see my God in the Bible. He's the heart, the theme of the book. He's the rose of Sharon. He's the lily fair. Wherever I open the Bible, the God of the Bible is there. Amen. I speak on behalf of the KJV, not good news, the modern man or the NIV, but the King James Bible that God has given to me. Amen. Amen. I am very honored. Brother Ray Young, thank you for your kindness, your hospitality. I love your brother. Brother Ray and I came to college together in 1974 and graduated in 1979. And I love him very much, and I thank God for him. Brother John Rice, so good to see you, sir. John and I played on the First Baptist Church softball team. I was the only outsider allowed to play because I was so good. And we played on a church team. But Dr. Cowling, good to see you. Dr. Cowling, I remember that day that you and your ladies came to our church and sang and preached and had a good time. And right after they left, I got on a motorcycle and rode from Virginia to Ohio. Took a little trip, and I'm coming down a turnpike, and there in the path, Dr. Cowling and the girls on my motorcycle, and the girls wouldn't look at me. And I said, who's that guy watching us in that motorcycle? And I pulled up real slow, and Brother Cowling, I took your helmet off riding down the road. He looked at me, and I looked at him and waved, and they pulled over. Dr. Cowling, so good to see you, sir. And Brother Fish, good to see you, and I'm glad to be back at Hiles Anderson College. I was the first class to sit in this chapel. A lot of blood, sweat, and tears and effort went into building the school. Dr. Hiles gave his life at Hiles Anderson College. And I love this place. And you're sitting in a place of honor, in a place of education, a place of greatness. I've over 40 years ago, I sat here and I waved my Bible. I was a married student with two children. And I worked in a steel mill, and I loved this place then. I love it now. And you ought not take for granted the good things that God. Hey, are you glad you're saved? Let's give God a hand. Are you glad you're on the winning side? You're going to live long as God's going to live. When you got something, you ought to thank God for it. Amen. And y'all not ever get used to being saved. Amen. You ought to never get used to being born again. You ought to never get used to what God has done for you in your life. Amen. It's a shame. We get over being saved. We get over being born again. We get over being able to preach and teach and love God. Amen. I see this man's a military man, Brother Frank, right? He's a retired military man. I love our military. They ought to be honored and loved and cared for. And they allow me freedom to preach the gospel. Brother Frank, I was in Fort Worth, Dallas Airport. I'd gone to preach out there in Shreveport. And I'd been down to Longview. And I was preaching in Austin. I was all up in Texas. And I was in an airport at Fort Worth, Dallas. And about 20 or 30 of these military men and women came in and sat down. And they were waiting for their plane, headed out to be deployed. Don't take much of a crowd to get me started. Two will get me going, amen. And I eased over there and gave one of them soldiers a Bible tract. Thanked them. Thank you. Girls about 18, 19, young men about 18, 19, barely shaving, going to fight for their country. And I stood up on the seat and started preaching and telling them that Jesus loved them. And I appreciated that. And I got to preaching. They called Homeland Security. I thought I was going to have a bomb threat or something. It was getting on right there. Some of the soldiers got to amening me a little bit. Homeland Security came down there and said, what are you doing? I said, I'm preaching to these young folks who had to go fight for their country. They need to know somebody loves and somebody cares and that we're on their side. So you're going to have to get down. A little lady told you to come over, and she said, sir, I sure should let him preach and pray. We need all the help we can get. He didn't let me preach. He didn't let me pray at all, but we had a good time. Amen. Thank God for our freedom. I want you to open your Bibles today. I'm very honored to be here, and thank God for the student body at Hiles Anderson College. I love it. Open your Bible to Psalms chapter 78. I want us to do this. I'll try and break the ice today and get with it tomorrow, and I'll try and help you if I can. Only one life will soon be passed, and only what's done for Christ will last, and you've decided to spend your life serving our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You'll thank God. I'll be 66 on my next birthday. I'm getting a little older, a little gray, a little tighter, but I'm glad that I'm saved. Amen. And I'd sure like to be a help to you. By the way, I hate to tell you this, but I've had many good naps in this room. It became an art. It became an art to sit down like this, a briefcase like this, hands like this. Amen, preacher. Woo! I thoroughly understand God's good. Hey, when I say God's good, you say all the time, okay? Let's do it again. God's good?
All the time.
Everybody, God's good?
All the time.
Ladies, help me. God's good?
All the time.
Hey, you men, if you got pants on you, man, help me. God's good?
All the time.
Amen. Let's help church. Now, here's what I'd like to do today. I would like to form a team effort and hate the devil. Amen. I'd like you to come and help me, and I'll help you, and we'll get something done. If nothing else, we'll shout a little bit and thank God we were in chapel at Hiles Addison College. Amen. Psalms chapter 78, I'm going to read to you there. Hey, something just happened, popped in my head. Happens all the time. I don't have an outline. I got a couple of pages written down so I can be educated today and know who I am and where I am. I am a college graduate. I want to help you today. This man went to the Ohio Airport to get on the airplane. His name was John Jones. He was going to have a 220 flight to Detroit. He had a amount of time. He was just there waiting, so he went to this weight machine. He dropped in some money. A little ticket popped out, and it said, "Your name is John Jones. You weigh 180, and you're going to catch a 220 flight to Detroit." This man said, "No way that machine could know that, but they could know it now, probably." He went back a second time, dropped his money in. The weight machine came up, a little ticket popped out, and said, "Your name is still John Jones. You still weigh 180, and you're still going to catch a 220 flight to Detroit." He went to the bathroom, changed clothes, got glasses, come back, put it in there, and it says, "Your name is still John Jones. You still weigh 180, and you have just missed the 220 flight to Detroit." Amen. Now, folks, look, don't miss what God has for you here at college today. You know what a rut is? A rut is a grave with both ends kicked out. Routine is where you want to live. Routine, rocking steady for the cause of Christ and doing a good job for God. And let God speak to your hearts and let God do something in your life, and I promise He will help you here today. Brother Roger Avery, I want to tell you it's great to be with you. Roger Avery, one of my men, his grandmother passed away. I never met him, his family. His grandmother passed away. They asked me to preach the funeral. So I did. At that funeral, I met Roger, his wife. They were carrying their son, Derek, who's now playing football at Tawan College, a great young man. And they come to church, got saved, walked out, got baptized. And now for these last 20 years, one of the dearest friends I've got. And he drove me to Hammond today to go drive me home when we get done Thursday night. And I love you, Brother Roger, and thank you for coming with me today. Psalms chapter 78, the Bible says this. Verse 11, let's read verse 8. "And might not be their fathers a stubborn and rebellious generation, a generation that set not their heart aright, and whose spirit was not steadfast with God. And the children of Ephraim, being armed, carrying bows, turned back in the days of the battle, and kept not the covenant of God, and refused to walk in His law, and forget His works and His wonders that He had showed them. Marvelous things did He in the sight of their fathers in the land of Egypt and the land of Zoan. He divided the sea, caused them to pass through, and He made the waters stand as a heap. In the daytime also He led them with the cloud, at nighttime with the light. He clave the rocks in the wilderness and gave them drink out of the great depths. He brought streams also out of the rock, and He caused waters to run down like a river. And they sinned yet more against Him by provoking the Most High in the wilderness. And the tempest, and that they tempted God in their heart by asking meat for their lust. Yea, they spake against God, and they said, Can God furnish a table in the wilderness? Behold, He smote the rock that the waters gushed out and streams overflowed. Can He give bread also? Can He provide flesh for His people? Therefore the Lord heard this and was wroth. So the fire was kindled against Jacob, and anger also came up against him." Our Heavenly Father, I'd ask You to help me today, dear Lord. These are good young people, and I sense a great deal of excitement and zeal and love for God. It's a great spirit. I'm not sure exactly what's going on, but I sure do lack it. I pray, Father, You'll touch every young man, every young lady, every teacher. You'll reach down and do a mighty work in our hearts. Dear Lord, it won't be long. We'll be called home, and we'll be found a good and faithful servant for the cause of Christ. I yield my eyes, my lips, and my hands of clay to You that You might help me to help these young people today. And watch over us, and we will thank You. In Thy name we pray. Amen. Somebody say amen for me. Nothing is too hard for the Lord, He said in the book of Genesis chapter 18. When I get started this morning and I'll get you out in time, the church head teacher might not want me cutting into his time, so I'll try and get done on time this morning. I never was much on church head either, by the way. It was difficult for a married man with working all night. So glad to be here today. I would like to say to young people, there's nothing too hard for the Lord. Nothing God cannot do. Now, someone's going to say, yeah, I know God can, but Willie, he sure will. God loves his children. And God will look out for you and I if we'll trust him and believe him and ask him to help us. Now, here's what I want to preach on. I just done this. I want to preach on God can. Help me right here. You just cry. Say, God can. Oh, no. Y'all help me. God can. Y'all help me. God can. Y'all help me. God can. Everybody, one, two, three. God can. I want you to know that God can today. God can do anything God wants to do. God is the King of kings, the Lord of lords, the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning, the end. And besides him, there's none else. Amen. He is King from the White House all the way down. And we can trust him to do in our lives what needs to be done. And the last week in May of 1979, I graduated from college. I spent 7 years in Florida, the 31st year at my church in Richmond, Virginia. And I have seen God do some wonderful, good, and great things in our lives, at our church and in the ministry. But I think some of the greatest things that ever happened to me happened right here at Hiles Anderson College. Last time I was here, there was a boy from Boy Knox that had gotten saved in chapel that day. I don't reckon he's here today, but God did great, great things for us. I'm going to give you three things. Now, I want you to find a little pen. Write this down if you don't mind. It won't change your life, but it'll help you. I want to say, number one, there's no sinner too hard that God can't save. There's no sinner too hard that God can't save. This morning, Brother Ray Young texted me this morning, and he said, preacher, he said, looked outside. If you haven't, he said, everything is iced up. There's 5 wrecks between me and the college. He said, drive 3 or 4 miles an hour. Be careful. And so Roger and I went downstairs, getting a little continental breakfast. The young man there that was cleaning up the tables and taking out the trash. And I went out to him, I said, how you doing, sir? I said, my name is Ron Talley. And I said, I'm just here visiting a Baptist preacher. How you work here? He said, yes, sir. I said, how long? It's in September. And I said, well, let me ask you a question. You have a home church? And he said, I go to so-and-so church somewhere. And I said, well, I'm glad you go to church. But if you die today, would you go to heaven? He said, I don't know. I would like to know. And I went to the Romans Road and prayed, and he prayed and got saved this morning at the motel about 8:30 or 9 o'clock. There's nobody too hard that God can't save. Y'all listen up. It is my opinion that God has called out the Hiles Anderson College and people like us to take the gospel around the world. For Jesus came to seek and to save that which was lost. You will never do anything more important to get somebody saved, tell them about Jesus, and disciple them and love them and help them all the way to glory. Amen. And you have to remember this on your bus route, your ministry, wherever you go, whatever you do, God wants to save sinners. I was at a hospital visiting. A lady in my church, her name was B. Nobles, came to me and she said, my aunt's in the hospital, will you go visit her? And I said, I will. I went to the hospital, I walked in the hospital room to visit. And when I got there, there was a lady was dying of cancer. And I did a lady at the bedside on this side and that side. And I walked in, and first lady said, sir, who are you? I said, I'm a Baptist preacher. Her niece has sent me by to pray with her. And she said, we don't need a preacher. And I said, well, that'll be fine. She said, if we wanted you, we would have called you. You may leave. So I headed out. As I headed out, there was a little man sitting in the corner of that room. He said, hey, man. I said, sir. He said, I need a preacher. So I stopped, went over there, sat down by him. His name was Mr. Vandal. I sat down by him, and I said, how you doing? He changed tires on 18-wheelers on the highway. And he was dying of lung cancer, and he was scared. So I got to tell him about the Lord, got talking, visiting with him. The lady came up and said, sir, this is my husband. We don't need a preacher. You can leave. So I got to leave. When I left, he said, hey, man. And he handed me a business card with his address on it as I walked out. Put it in my pocket, tucked it away. He lived over by the airport. In a couple of days, I drove my car to the airport, Sampson, Virginia, drove into his house, knocked on his door. Guess who answered the door? You're right, his wife. What are you doing here? I said, Mr. Vandal invited me to come to his house and visit with him. We don't want you. I left. I went back a second time, knocked on the door. Finally, she said, you're not going to quit, are you? I said, no, ma'am. I got to talk to Mr. Vandal. He invited me in. On my third visit, he prayed and got saved. And about 10 days after he died, he went to heaven. I preached his funeral. His wife let me preach his funeral. And God, but there was nobody, there's no man too hard that God can't save. Amen. And you listen, hey. Everybody. Everybody, God can. You ought to leave today saying, God can help me. God can lead me. God can guide me. God can watch over me. I was at a lady in my church get saved. Shannon Burns, her and Steve Burns, I married him. She said, come to me one day and she said, preacher, my dad needs to be saved. She said, he's lost. He's dying. He's a motorcyclist. He wears a leather vest and rides a Harley and said, he runs in a rough crowd and he's dying of cancer. I went to the hospital to see him. His name was Russell Blackburn. I rolled in there, went upstairs, witnessed to him, talked to him. He prayed and got saved. Really sweet conversion. He lived about 2 months, and every time I went to the hospital, there was all 5 or 6 or 7 guys there on motorcycles that they were his buddies and his partners he rode with. He passed away. The family said to me, he said, "Preacher, we'd like for you to preach a funeral and ride your motorcycle." And I said, "I've never ridden a bike to a funeral, but if you want me to, I will." So I got me a black suit, white shirt, dark tie, dark shoes, my helmet, my Suzuki Intruder 1400, and headed for the funeral. I pulled up more said funeral home, parked my bike. Now, I didn't park it. I pulled up, and the guy running the funeral came over. His name was Buster. He said, "You can park over there. There's about 100 bikes in the line." I took my helmet off, and he said, "Preacher, what are you doing riding a bike?" I said, "The family asked me to." I was the only non-Harley motorcycle in the whole gang of about 100 bikes. I parked right in the front. They all eyeballed me. Before Russell died, he called me in his room, and he had given me one of his favorite T-shirts, a Harley Davidson T-shirt. He'd given me a little do-rag to wear on my head when I rode my bike, and he gave me a pair of sunglasses. When I got to the funeral that day, the place was packed out, wall-to-wall bikers. From one edge standing to the other back wall standing to that wall standing, bikers. Packed out. I got up in the pulpit, read a text, took off my coat, took off my shirt, had a Harley Davidson shirt on, put my do-rag on, put my glasses on. They stood up and gave me a standing ovation, shouting all over the room at the funeral. When they got done, I said, "You may be seated." Put my shirt back on, my tie back on, my coat back on, took the rag off, the glasses off. One of the boys said, "Put that rag back on. You look good like that." And I said, "No. Don't, I'm an independent fundamental Baptist preacher. Come and tell you about Jesus." 100+ men got saved at that funeral that day. I'm here to tell you, young people, listen, there's nobody too hard that God, matter of fact, somebody at this college called me, Brother Ray, and said, "I'm at Howard Hanson College. My dad lives in your town. He's dying of cancer. Go see him." I went to his house, knocked on his door. Construction worker let me in. He prayed and got saved. I'm telling you, there's nothing that God cannot do. Amen. If you and I will believe that our God is able to do more than we can think or ask, will pick us up and lift us up and believe in our God, we can do great work. Young folks, listen, please. God can help you. Help you with your finances, with your family, your friends. God can do it if you will let him. But you must believe that he's a God that's able to do above all that we can think or ask and do great things in your life. God is able to just do great, great things in our lives. My brother Roger's here, and his uncle works for ESPN for 15 years. He got saved at our church. And it's just a great, nobody taught. D.L. Moody was in a preaching meeting. The man jumped up and said, Mr. Moody, can I testify? And D.L. Moody said, what about? He said, "The mountaintop experience." And D.L. Moody said, "Have you been to the mountain?" He said, "I have." "Anybody get saved on your mountain?" He said, "No, sir." "Then sit down. You ain't been to the mountain." Amen. And folks, listen up. God wants to do great things in our lives. I do not know what sits in front of me. Jacob Trebonius was a German teacher in Germany. He taught 6th grade boys. Every morning he came to his class, he took off his overcoat, he bent down and bowed to the 6th grade boys. A man said to him, they said, "Jacob Trebonius, why would you bow down to a bunch of ragamuffin boys?" And Jacob Trebonius said, "I'm bowing down because I know not what sits in my class. I know not what sits here today, but I do know this. If you will believe that God is able to help you and guide you and love you and lead you and do all things in your life you like to do, you'll do great things for God." Can I tell you this? I hate to do this, but I flunked some classes here. If Dean Jorgensen would have taught you, you'd have flunked too. Amen. He was a good teacher, but I was not a good student. I worked all night. I had my second or third year here. My wife had a child. We had 3 babies. I worked full-time in a steel mill, 3 to 11. I went to school 8 to 1, and I struggled. I wasn't a really good student. Nobody knew I was here. Nobody knew I was passing through here. I didn't preach in chapel. Didn't preach in skits. I didn't preach in the prophet's chamber. None of that. I ran a bus route for 4 years. I kept my nose clean. I never flunked out. Never came out for financial reasons. I stayed in college. Now I know that probably I have no right to be here today. Dr. Hiles came to my church, Brother Ray, and preached for us. Hey, somebody help me. God can. Again, hey, Hey, y'all listen. Hey, help me here. God can. Again, God can. Brother Ray, Dr. House came to me, our church in Princeton, Virginia. We put a big tent up, seated 800 people, put the choir up, had a great time. While he was there, we sat down and talked, and we were visiting, and he said, we were talking back and forth, and I asked him where some of the boys that were in college with me, and I said, Preacher, you know, I never did much in college, and I was a quiet student. I didn't get good grades. I was, you know, some folks graduated cum laude. I graduated, oh, Lordy, I promise you, amen. And Brother House said to me this. He said, Ron, if you'll stay with it, on your way up, you'll pass men and boys on their way down. And by the grace of God, I'm turned 65. Hey, Brother Ray, I got my first Social Security check. Amen. Got me a Medicare card and getting me a cane. Amen. That's good. All the time. We messed that up, didn't we? God's good.
All the time.
Again, God's good.
All the time.
I tell you today, folks, nobody would. Matter of fact, Dr. Bill Schroeder, a good teacher here, told me, he said, Ron, I had homiletics. Any of your boys have homiletics? Any have advanced homiletics? Well, I had homiletics with Dr. Bill Schroeder. He was our teacher. I gave a 3-minute speech. Here's what I done. Man, Ron, tell me how about Trump? You got to be saved. Mother of God, what's in the blender? He said, what was that? And I said, that's preaching. He said, I couldn't understand the word you said. I said, me neither. I said, my name is Ron Taylor from Moran, Ohio. I've been saved for a year. I gave that speech again. After my first year of class, Dr. Schroeder called me and said, he said, Ron, I think you ought to go be a Christian school coach. I said, you really can't preach. You have a speech impediment, you talk real fast. I am a Yankee, you talk real fast. He said, I don't think you can cut it. But Ms. Evans and Ms. Mitchell and Ms. Moffat, they helped me in speech class. But I tell you what I didn't do. I believe that God wanted to use me. And I believe God has hand upon me. And I refuse to be discouraged. I refused to quit, and I refused to listen. And by the way, they were good people and good men. They were. And they knew more than I knew, but I knew something they didn't know. I didn't want to be a coach. God had called me to preach, amen. Amen. God hadn't called me to be a coach. God hadn't called me to be a teacher. God had called me to be a preacher, and I refused. And I believe that God can, amen. I was at Moultrie, Georgia, headed six flags over Georgia. That real funny guy, there was a Baptist preacher. I'll give you his name in a minute. Claudel and Odell and what's that guy's name, Roger? That he was a comedian, but he was a Baptist preacher. You folks don't even know what I'm talking about, do you? Jerry Clower. Jerry Clower was there giving a big meeting. He had a big tent set up. And Brother Ray, I got under the tent, and I was about 35 years old, 40 years old, and had about 20 teenagers with me, and I climbed under the tent. Went up there where he was giving a speech at the largest tractor organization in the state of Georgia. I called the guy. I said, look, I said, I'm a Baptist preacher, and so is Jerry. Ask him if I can give my testimony when he gets done with his routine, a comedy routine. He said, you can't do that. And I said, come on, I can do that. He wouldn't let me do that. So I went back under the tent, went out. They had a John Deere tractor about a story high. I climbed up on top of it. And I waited until Mr. Jerry Clower got done giving his speech. When they dismissed, I went to preaching. Hey, let me tell you about Jesus. And I got to preaching it up. They called the state police on me. He come down there wearing a Smokey the Bear hat. He walked up, took his hat off, and said, what are you doing? I said, preaching. He said, you can't do that here. I said, what can I do? He said, whatever you're doing, you can't do. And I said, can I give an invitation? He looked around and said, go ahead and give an invitation. And I did. But folks, you listen. I'll tell you what it is. That's because God can use anybody. Let me say number two, there's nobody that God won't use. Ladies, God wants to use you. Hey, I've been married 45 years. Been with the same woman 50 years. When I met her, she was 14. You say, where is she at today? I'll tell you where she's at. She's at home. She's a school teacher. And Dr. Ray Young invited me to come ahead and preach in January. And my wife said, nobody goes to Hammond in January. Tell them they want to come in July. Amen. But I tell you today that God is able to do all that you and I can think or ask. There's nobody too hard. Nobody that God won't use. Nobody that God won't save. God can and God can and God can and God will. Amen.
God can give you miracles. God can give you money. Brother Rogers said, we had a man at our church, a black man named Mr. Vincent Burwell. Vincent wasn't married, lived by himself, drove a truck. He came to our church, walked the aisle, and got saved. We became intimate friends.
And Brother Burwell lived at our church about 5 or 6 years, working for us, working our car show, our bus ministry. He lived by himself, had a heart attack, and died. The family called me and said, "You know him better than we do. Can you preach his funeral?" I said, "I do." Well, they had the funeral at a neighborhood church where he lived at. So I got down there. Myself and John Walton went to preach the funeral. I got there. I walked in, Brother Ray. And I'm looking for, it's an all-black church, very nice church in our town. And I'm looking for a minister. A lady walks up and says, "How you doing, sir?" She said, "I'm the pastor here." And I thought, I wonder if the college would approve of me preaching with the lady preacher out here today. And that lady came in and said, "I'm the assistant pastor. Two ladies are pastoring this church. And I'm ready to preach a funeral for this man at this church." So I look around and I said, "Nothing plus nothing equals nothing." So I climbed up on one of them chairs. They come sat with me. And when the man came on, he played the organ. And he's playing the organ and they were singing. And anyway, they got up and I gave the eulogy. How he got saved, how God had used him, how he got baptized, living for God, how he served God. I got about 10 minutes deep and the lady got up and said, "Man, you're doing so good, you can have the whole service, amen." So I preached for the next 20 minutes, gave the invitation. Both of those ladies raised their hand and said they got saved at that church, the pastor of that church, at that man's funeral. Hey, folks, there ain't nothing too hard that God can't do. Amen. I say to you today, I'll never go no further than God using you and God using me, but God can. Amen. And if you'll let God use you, look, don't quit. Don't give up. Don't throw in the towel. You trust God that he will see you all the way to glory, and God will use you in a great and mighty and powerful way. I'll tell you why. Listen, young folks, because God can. Say it with me. Say it with me. God can. We're living in a changing world, a changing political world. We're living in a changing spiritual world, and that's really too bad, because God can do great things. Let me give you my sisters. I'm the baby of 5 children. I have 3 sisters. My oldest sister was living in Pigeon Forge. And about a year and a half ago, 2 years ago, she retired and moved to be at my church in Richmond, Virginia, in Chesterfield. They bought a house in Bergdale on the golf course, and her and her husband moved there and were attending my church. My mother, about 10 years before this, had died of breast cancer. And my middle sister, Mary, who lived at our church, was fighting ovarian cancer. So my sister Mary was living with my other sister Nancy at our church, and she was fighting cancer. Sister Patsy moved in, and she was an oncology nurse and was helping her. While she was doing that, my old sister got cancer. And in the last 14 months, both of my sisters have died of cancer, and I did both of their funerals at our church. But I still believe that God is in charge. I will not get bitter. I will not get angry. I will allow God to use me. I dream many dreams that never came true. I seen them vanish at dawn. But I have realized enough of my dreams to keep me dreaming on. I prayed many prayers when no answers came, though I prayed long and hard. But God has answered enough of my prayers to keep me praying on. I sowed many seeds that fell by the way for the birds to feed upon. But I've held enough golden sheaves in my hand to keep me sowing on. I've had many friends that have proven untrue. They left me to weep alone. But I've had enough of my friends who have proven true blue to keep me trusting on. Hey, young people, keep trusting in God. Keep believing in God. Stay on the firing line. Believe that God can. Whatever you may need, God can answer. Point number two, God can answer all your prayers. There's nothing too hard for God. I'm not going to preach. I'm not going. I'm going to close in. Y'all stay with me. God wants to use you. I don't know what you need. I don't know where you're at. I don't know where you... Anybody from Virginia? Where at in Virginia? Stuart. Is there a good church down there? Praise the Lord. Somebody over there raise a hand. Where from? Chesterfield. What church? Ah, yes, ma'am. Good place over there. Well, I'm glad to meet our fellow Chesterfield. Hi. Young people, listen very carefully to me, and I will close. I said this last night, and I was very sincere. Brother Ray Young called me to come to college and preach. I said, "Brother Ray, are you sure that you want to turn me loose in chapel? And are you sure that Brother Wilkins is going to allow me to do this?" He said, "Yes, sir, Brother Talley. We'd like for you to come." I said, "When?" He said, "As soon as possible." And I said, "Well, give me a date." He said, "In January." And I said, "Brother Ray, are you sure it's okay for me to come there and preach?" Because young folks, I never believed that I would ever come back to our college. Dr. Howes brought me back in 1993. And then I didn't come back again for 17 years. Bill Grady was here then, Brother Young. And Brother Grady came by to see me. He was teaching school here, Shady Grady. If you see him, tell him I said so. And he said, man, Tally, great chapel. He said, you won't do that again probably. But 17 years later, Brother Ray invited me back. I think it was 2 or 3 years ago. And I thought maybe I'd overstep my bounds. Maybe I'm really, a man last night said, you always like this? Always. Roger said, always, always. I think sometimes that I'm a loner. I march at a beat of a different drummer. I love God. I love God calling me to preach. I love what God allows me to do. A few minutes ago when y'all were up shouting, you know, if I didn't set you down, I like it. We ought to have a good time in church. Church ought not be a morgue. It ought not be dead. It ought to be something happening for the cause of Christ. In this room this morning, there are probably teachers and good people looking at me going, man, I'll be glad when this guy gets done. You see, when this kid gets done, this old man gets done, because he just rather, y'all listen up, I believe God can. I believe God can do great things. I believe God can give miracles. And if Peter can walk on the water and Moses part the Red Sea, God do anything in mine in your life. Amen. I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. If God in you, the hope of glory, there's nothing too hard that God can't do. And if you'll trust God and you'll believe God and don't quit and don't throw in a towel, hang on for the cause of Christ, you'll be so glad you did when it's all said and done. Amen. You'll thank God he let you hang in there and stay in there and be in there. I'll give you one quick little story, and I'll pray, I think. I'm the son of an alcoholic. My dad was drunk the first 30, 40 years of my life. He burned our house down. He beat my mother. He abused 5 children. About 1990, a man came to my office and said, Preacher, he said, my dad and I aren't getting along. Can you help me? I said, yes, sir, I can help you. We counseled. His dad came to church. I led his dad to Christ. His dad was in church last Sunday, 20-plus years later. God did a great work. He left, and God said to me, he said, Preacher, Ron, what are you going to do about your dad? And I said, God, you know that I'm bitter at my dad, and I don't have nothing to do with my father. And God said, that ain't right. So next Sunday morning, 8 o'clock, Brother Ray, I called my dad on the phone. I knew my mom was on a bus route in Lorain, Ohio. I said, hey, Dad. And he said, Ronnie? I said, yes, sir. He said, what's going on? I said, I'm having some deacon problems, and I think you might help me. Phone got quiet. My dad talked to me. I hung up. Next Sunday morning, I called my dad again. Phone rang. My dad answered. We talked. In 1996, my mother got breast cancer. My father said to me, he said, Ronnie, I need to come to your church and live. I can't take care of your mother, and she needs help. In 1996, my mother and my dad moved to a little house on my church property. My daddy got saved, walked the aisle. Before my daddy died, he became a deacon at my church. I like to set a story in there, but it didn't. My father died, cast in front of my pulpit. My brother from Kentucky came to the funeral. My brother was unsaved. Sat right in here where these girls are sitting. At my dad's funeral, I gave an invitation. My brother raised his hand, and my brother got saved. All that to say this, if I'd have quit while I was here, if I didn't believe that God could in my life while I was here, and while I sat here, and while I shouted here, I shouted to stay awake. I used to sit right there, and I'd watch that door right there. I'd see feet appear. I'd get excited, man. Something getting ready to happen. I didn't care who was preaching. They had ice on each arm. I was shouting the victory. I was just trying to stay awake. Now watch that door. Watch Curtis Hudson come through that door. All them great men of God. Young folks, you listen up and listen carefully, and you stay with me. Tomorrow I'll try to help you. Hey, say it with me. Say it with me. Say it with me. Hey, if you want to say it with me, something wrong with your attitude, amen, because God can, amen. How many of you believe God can? Say amen.
Amen.
God bless you. Thank you, preacher.